it's dangerous to be a religious leader. Let's talk about it on Key Life.
That was Steve Brown, and this is Key Life, a program designed to get you home with freedom, joy, and faithfulness to Christ. Now get your Bible, and let's study together.
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible, keep it there. I'll be referring to some texts in Matthew, perhaps some others. We're looking at some of the different groups of people that stood on the cross on Golgotha, given that this is Easter week, and we talk about those themes. Yesterday, we talked about the evidences for the resurrection during the question and answer time. By the way, yesterday was Passover. Did you get invited to a Seder meal? Those are you. If you didn't, that means you don't have any Jewish friends, and you ought to have some Jewish friends. I mean, that is so cool, and they like having people like us, Gentiles, come to Seder meals. And I've gone to so many. Now the food's not that great. That big wad of dough in the soup is just not very good. Now the lamb is great, but it's a wonderful, joyous family time. And if you're ever invited, be sure and go. Hey, listen, one other thing that I forgot to mention yesterday. If you haven't checked out our website, it's www.keylife.org. Learn a lot about Key Life. You can listen to today's broadcast or the previous 30, which are archived there. Well, back to the main thing, because the main thing is the main thing. And we're talking about some of the people that were on Golgotha that day who were involved in the crucifixion of Christ. And if you've been listening, we talked about Simon, who's the guy who carried Jesus' cross, Matthew 27:32, just walking down a road whistling, and they said, "Hey, hey!" And they called him over, and he had to carry Jesus' cross, and it changed his life. His children became covenant children, made a radical difference in his family. It happens all the time. We're bystanders, and we become standers, and we become involved. Then we noticed the soldiers smoking stogies, playing cards at the foot of the cross. They didn't care one whit. It's just another job to them. That's like most of our culture. Then we notice the robbers who died as they lived. Well, at least one of them did. And then we noticed in the Luke, and that's Matthew 27:44. He just tells us that these two guys were crucified with Jesus. But Luke gives us a little bit more detail. Says that one of the thieves turned to Jesus and said, "Hey, Jesus, don't forget me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Then we looked at the crowd, and we saw that it's dangerous to be a part of a crowd. Matthew 27:39-80, Matthew says they were wagging their heads and blaspheming Jesus. That's so typical. And there's a principle I taught you, and I am going to give you an exam on this, so I hope you're taking notes and remembering. If everybody's doing it, it's probably wrong. That's true in church, too, man. You got to be really careful. Because a lot of us do stuff for no other reason than everybody's doing it. And that's not very smart. And then got a couple of others I want to share with you today. I want you to notice the leaders. Look at Matthew 27:41-43. Likewise, Matthew writes, the chief priests also, mocking with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he is the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we'll believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. He said, 'I am the Son of God.'" Can you believe that, man? Those are religious leaders. I mean, these are supposed to be the compassionate, kind, gentle, good people in our culture, and they're joining in with the nails and the crossbeams. You'd think of all the people standing there in that crowd on that day, you'd think of all the people standing there that these would be the ones who would stop the crucifixion. After all, they're religious, committed to God. The truth is, there's something about institutional religion that'll make you hard if you let it. I hate religion. We get thousands of letters and emails and phone calls here at Key Life. A lot of people write us who are really upset because they've been hurt by religion. Oh, man, they tell me all kinds of bad things about the church. I always say when I write back to them, "You don't know nothing." Well, I don't say it that way. I use proper English when I do. You don't know much. I could tell you stories that would curl your toes. You know that statement, if you like hot dogs and the law, you shouldn't watch either one being made. Well, if you like church, you shouldn't watch it being made either, because we're still sinners in the church, and some really bad stuff happens. And the more institutionalized we become, in other words, the more organized and ecclesiastically strong and have power and money, the more dangerous it can be for us. And a lot of really bad stuff gets done by institutional religion. Now, institutions are necessary. And I'm not talking about the church. I'm talking about how institutional arteries get hardened. People do it because they've always done it. And people rule others out because they don't fit into our institutional definition of what everything's supposed to mean. And so people get hurt. I've seen people devastated with church discipline improperly given. Now, I believe in church discipline. I believe that's a sign of the true church. But you got to remember, I'm going to give you a principle that's really, really important. The principle is this: with the possible exception of very hard hearts, there is a direct correlation between the degree of your sin and the pain that comes from it. And so, when somebody needs to be disciplined in the church, remember the pain. You know, we have this idea, and I'm going down a side road here, I gotta be careful or I'll never get back. We have this idea that God, a just God, has ordained you can't have your cake and eat it too. And if you're trying to, we're going to kick you out of the church or remove communion from you, or because you ought to have to pay a price for the bad stuff that you did. That's not what it's about. The price was paid. And when a person has a tender heart and they're broken before God, that's not the time to kick them. My friend Tony Campolo, I know. I spent a lot of time defending him. Because he really does have some weird political views. But I love him more than I can tell you. But Tony Campolo preached a sermon one time on I Am Jim Baker. And in the sermon he said, you guys, when you were trying to sell books and Jim Baker was on top of the world, you kept burning a path to that place in Charlotte so you could sell your books. And now that he's down and sinned and everybody knows it, you're avoiding him like the plague. The time you ought to be around him is right now. Why is that? Because that's my principle, remember it. There's a direct correlation between the degree of your sin and the pain that you experience because of it. But religion will tell you, how could you? You will not get away with it. We will correct you. We will bring forth the justice of God. And that's where the mistake happened with these guys who were religious leaders standing on the hill of Golgotha on that day. I got to keep moving because I got one more I'm going to share with you. I want you to notice the women, not only the leaders and the crowd and the robbers and the soldiers and Simon. I want you to notice the women. Look at Matthew 27:55-56. As far as Matthew is concerned, the women are the only ones who know what's going on. I've got to be careful about the feminist thing here, but it's true. They understand. They know the truth, yet are also the most powerless of the group. The men who could have done something about it didn't because they didn't understand. With the exception of the three women, we don't even know their names. We don't know much about them at all. We don't know how they ministered to Jesus. We don't know what their gifts were. We do know one thing, though. Jesus was in pain, and they were there. They understood. Christians, often we are like the women. We have the truth, yet we're helpless. Heard a sad story a while back about a woman suffering from cancer. In the early fall, she came home from the hospital to die, and one day the woman's 7-year-old daughter overheard a conversation between the doctor and her father. The doctor said, when the leaves fall from the trees, she will no longer be here. The next morning, the little girl wasn't at the breakfast table, and her father eventually found her out in the yard picking up leaves and sewing them trying to with thread back on the trees. We feel that way sometimes. But God has called us to be faithful in the same way the women were faithful. They couldn't do anything. They were just there. Are you just there? Or you got to be successful? Just be there. Be with them. Understand the truth. Walk. Walk it. Be faithful. Don't leave. They understood, and you understand. And you know the most important witness that we make in the world? Just by being there. Don't fake stuff. Don't try to be something you're not. Don't smile when you feel like crying. Don't say dumb things. Don't feel like you have to correct every political and theological and doctrinal and biblical error on the face of the earth. Just be there. You see, Jesus is in you, and he comes. Just be there. When I stand on Golgotha, I look at the crowd and I shake my head. I look at the leaders and say, how could you? I look at the robbers and say, you got what you deserve. I look at the soldiers and say, you're idiots. I look at Simon and I think, cool. But then I look at the women, and they were there. And they understood. You think about that. Amen. Hey, if you haven't asked for the little booklet we're offering, Reactions to Redemption, I'd love to send it to you absolutely free. Some of the material of this week, a little bit extra and more personal. If you'd like it, you can use it as a devotional. Give it to a friend, Reactions to Redemption. It's absolutely free. Give us a call, 1-800-KEY-LIFE, 24 hours a day. Or you can write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Or you can write Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3. Or you can email us, steve@keylife.org, with your regular mailing address and ask for Reactions to Redemption. And don't you dare not ask for this because you can't send a contribution. When I say it's free, I really mean that. But if you can help us financially, and you don't, you'll get the fever and die. No, I'm just kidding. But do pray about it. And some of you are called to stand with us financially. You can charge a contribution to MasterCard, Visa, Discover card, or you can include it in your envelope. For any contribution of any size, I'll send you as my thank you the cassette teaching Praying Properly. If you have trouble with prayer, this cassette will help. Ask for the booklet, Reactions for Redemption. Help us if you can, and I gotta go. But first, Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.